Hello and welcome to this episode of the Total Water Polo Podcast. I haven't got one, but two very special guests today. They are the future and also the present of the American national team. I'm very delighted to welcome Chase and Ryder Dodd. Hi guys, how are you doing?
Good. Pretty good.
Good. Thank you very much for joining us at quite late notice. How are you enjoying Zagreb at the moment?
It's an interesting place, for sure. I don't know. It's been kind of, you switch between school and you come here. It's kind of just trying to balance school and polo.
Yeah.
And I feel like we tackled it pretty well. Yeah. Like, we're halfway through.
Yeah, good. And two victories is always good. And obviously, you've taken time off university. You've taken time off high school. Am mm-hmm. I right? Yeah. Did you need a teacher's note to let you?
I did, yeah. One of my coaches wrote a note to my principal that sent it out to all my teachers saying that I was going to miss school for playing on the national team, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet all your teammates are now realizing how great you guys are. I think we should maybe start. You guys are still really young, so you haven't got a huge career yet, but maybe we can go back to the start of where you started water polo. Do you guys remember when you first started?
I think, didn't we start when like 8, 9?
You got me into water polo.
I did get him into water polo. Water polo is more like a, well, you know, like you're younger and you're trying to discover all those like different sports. You'll play mm-hmm. every single sport. Well, early on we realized we're not very good on land, so not going to land, why not go in the water?
What weren't you good at on land? Did you try like the classic American basketball, baseball?
We just weren't good at running.
You weren't good at running? No. So that kind of limits it a little bit.
Yeah.
You
know,
yeah.
You could play snooker or darts or something. But.
So yeah, we started with swimming and we're just like, yeah, swimming's it. And you always have to have another sport. So we started with water polo. Then kind of water polo just grew from there.
And were you good when you started?
At first, not really. It kind of comes in waves. You kind of grow, and then you have that big plummet, and then you have to build yourself back up. And mm-hmm. there's that period of being in that good area, and then you have to go right back down. And it's always fluctuating back and forth.
Uh-huh. And water polo is a high school sport for where you went to high school.
Yeah.
So that's quite cool. A lot of schools in Europe don't. We don't play water polo at school. We have clubs. And are there clubs? Did you join a club early on?
So you play clubs all the way from like 10 and under until like 14s, and then you play high school for like a part of this. It's kind of like college where like you play high school for a part of the season. So that like September to December range, you play high school and then everything else is club.
Nice. And obviously you had your older brother to look up to. Were you really small at the time and he would beat you up and that's how you learned?
Might have been the other way around. In my opinion.
Might have been. What do you have to say to that, Chase?
I might have been the enforcer sometimes.
Okay.
But I mean, when it got, you know, when he actually got a little mad, I might actually feel like the brute end of it. Actually, you know, it might hurt. But
you tick me off.
You're not denying it. Obviously, you guys are playing together now in the national team. It must be really nice that you've got your brother to play and give you advice and guidance and things like that.
Going back to the room. Just talking things out that happened in the game, just like especially after my roll or red card, you're just telling me like what I should have done better. Obviously, what
not punch the guy. It was maybe no. Are you guys roommates? With the national team.
Yeah, we are.
And do you ever feel like you get too much of each other?
I feel like sometimes maybe, but because right now I'm in college and he's in high school, we kind of don't see each other that much. So this is kind of nice just to finally catch up. And I don't know, we've had all this time together before I went off to college, so we kind of noticed what ticks all of our boxes and what makes us kind of a little bit on
the edge. And obviously you've said, Chase, that you're at college and Ryder, you're at high school. When did you decide that you'd go to UCLA, and how did you decide?
Oh, that's a hard one. So all of this was happening during COVID, so of course we'd had no officials. Contact with colleges was limited. You didn't know what the future of water polo was going to hold at that time, because you had that period where it's like 30 days out, we'll start it. A month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. So that made it kind of hard trying to determine what college I want to go to. But I don't know, something just clicked in me. I talked to a lot of the guys on UCLA, and just I felt like that was the best match for me.
Yeah,
and no, I'm not regretting it at all.
You're not regretting it, and you're having a good time there.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, and what's the training like day in, day out?
So right now it's 8 hours because it's right after season. But during season, it's mostly you practice 4 hours a day and you have lifting early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then competition. A lot of the time it's one game a day, but there are some big tournaments and stuff where you have two,
mm-hmm.
maybe sometimes three games a day, and that's a little tough. But
yeah, that's difficult to manage. And obviously you're not at college yet, mm-hmm. Ryder, but do you train that often as well? And if so, how does it work?
It's pretty close to that. So usually we have like lifting either before or after school. And then since my school starts at 8:30, we're on like a strict schedule. So my school goes from like 8:50 to around like 2:30 or so. So we usually practice like 6 a.m. to 8:30, depending on the day. Some days my school starts later, earlier. So it's usually like 2.5 hour, 3 hour practice in the morning, go to school and then lift after school. And then you go home and then do your homework, mm-hmm. start all over in the morning.
Yeah. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat, right? Yeah. And obviously your older brother's at UCLA. Mm-hmm. Is that somewhere that you could consider and foresee yourself going to, or is there another plan?
Obviously I could see myself going to UCLA. I mean, I've taken two officials so far to Cal and USC, and both those schools I had a blast, enjoyed like meeting the team, exploring the campus, just, you know, experiencing what it would be like if I went there. And so far it's making the decision even harder to
I bet they're great environments for young athletes to be in. Cal are the best at the moment. Mm-hmm. Would that sway your
little opinion? Yeah, obviously. But I'm looking through water polo. I'm also looking academically, mm-hmm. depending on where I want to go after water polo. Maybe I don't know. When mm-hmm. 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah. It's important, especially in a place where you can't be professional. You can be elite, but you can't be professional. It's important to think about your future career, not mm-hmm. just in the pool, but outside the pool. Obviously, you're both here with the senior national team, but you've worked your way up from the junior national teams. Maybe we'll start with you, Chase. What was your experience with the junior national teams and the ODP, the pipeline?
I've always been doing all this ODP stuff where you start with the development team, which is like, what year is development, do you think?
I think it's 12, up to like 12 or 13.
So 12 and 13.
That's quite young.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, you start very young. Mm-hmm. That's like the beginning of like the ODP pipeline, so Olympic development.
And you were always involved with that?
I was always involved in it. At first, I didn't really make the teams as much
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But as I went on, I started proving myself more and more. And I started making more teams. And then, of course, COVID happened, so everything got put off. And then, after that, I kind of just made my stand and I'm here.
Mm-hmm. And Ryder, were you similar? Were you always in and around the team, or were you the best or not so much?
I mean, obviously, I started same as Chase. I fortunately didn't get cut. I didn't get cut at any of my like Olympic. So we go development, cadet, youth. Unfortunately, I didn't get cut at any of those levels. So I always went on the trips, grew, developed.
Mm-hmm.
It just got me here, which is nice.
So you've both kind of taken different pathways. Do you maybe have different outlooks on how you make a team? Obviously, hard work. But you said, Chase, that you didn't make a lot of the teams. Is that something you see a lot with the current national team? How many of them, if you can tell us, how many of them also didn't make the teams that often, or were they always involved?
I think most of them are always involved. It's just like different. You see different people rise and you see different people fall. It's just about finding those patterns and just being the most consistent. I think that's a major thing. If you just be the most consistent, you just have the less drops and less rises, you would do the best.
Mm-hmm. And as I've said, you're both obviously here with the senior national team, which for young athletes like you guys is amazing, really. And to be contributing in the ways that you are is superb. Do you remember the first time that both of you were called up to the national team, firstly to train and then your first cap?
So the first time I got called up to the senior national team was probably December 2021. We had a little December training,
mm-hmm.
and then I got asked to do the FINA Intercontinental Cup.
Uh-huh. In Lima, right?
In Lima.
Yeah.
We had a pretty good tournament there. We won.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I just kept on getting called up, and I like Yeah. I haven't never looked back.
And for you, Ryder,
it's December of 2022. It was like we had some trainings right before we left for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And right before we started the trainings, I got a call and he asked if I would be okay going with the team to Texas. And of course, I said yes. So
that's a really short
period
of time between not being involved to making your first cap in Texas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it went from there. And then after that, I got the call to go to Croatia, which here I am now.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Great. And obviously, you said in you won the Intercontinental Cup in Lima and then went to Budapest for the World Championships. Yep. What was that experience like? We were talking about just before about that winning.
That's a very interesting story. You go from that FINA Intercontinental Cup where water polo is really not the biggest, so it's not a lot of people, and you go to Budapest, and you're like, there's like 4,000 people in the stands. You're like, what? I don't know this many people watch water polo. It's like, damn. But yeah, no, it was very eye-opening to me. I've never, like, of course, I've gone to tournaments. Like, I've gone to the Darko Kutic Cup in Serbia.
Yeah.
I don't know if I pronounced that correct. And I've gone to other tournaments in South America and stuff, but I've never been at a tournament like that where there's that many people.
Yeah. And what was the big thing that you learned playing in front of such a big
You arena? Can't be afraid.
You can't be afraid.
You cannot back down any of these players. Yeah. If you back down, it's not going to be a good tournament for you. You just got to...
You got to hold your ground.
You got to hold your ground.
Yeah. And did you watch any of that?
Of course. I mean...
And were you jealous of your brother that he was playing at this this incredible...
Yeah, but also obviously proud of him for making that team at, you know, he was 19 at the time. I think he was almost one of the youngest kids there, and he was holding his own, feeling comfortable against those guys, which is very impressive.
Yeah, I totally agree. And nothing more to add to that. And as for you, this is your first major tournament. I mean, in Texas, obviously, is an international. How are you finding traveling to Europe, playing with these monsters, these European monsters? How are you finding that?
It's been a great experience playing, learning, just like, I guess, talking with the guys too, just about their different styles of play that they come from, whether they're in Italy, France, other places, that just different styles of polo and how they come together and manage to put together some good water polo, which is always nice. And then also just learning from them, just everything I can, pick up new thing, new shot, anything.
Yeah. There's so many interesting variations here with this, the Serbian style or the Croatian or the Hungarian. It's great to see. Speaking of which, Coach Dejan, obviously, I remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago, said in an interview, I want all my players to go to Europe. They need to be playing in Europe. I know you guys aren't maybe at that age yet. I know a typical kind of timeline is that you go to college and then maybe after you play pro. Speaking to people like Max or Alex or Ben or whoever it is, the majority of the team here, right, are playing in Europe. What have they told you about their experiences in Europe? And would you guys consider doing it yourselves?
Oh yeah, of course. You never know what's going to happen in the next 2 years, but I have good feelings about the future. And you ask them all, you got to establish yourself right away when you go to these clubs. Like, that's the only way you can stand out. That's the only way that you kind of survive at some of these clubs is if you establish yourself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a big thing that all of my teammates on the national team have done, is they've established themselves again and again and again. And it's been proven. That's why.
Yeah. And do you guys watch or follow a lot of the leagues in Europe? And I guess a two-part, does the water polo community in America, are they aware of what goes on in Europe?
Definitely. So, I mean, the Champions League games are like in the middle of the day, like during my school.
Okay.
So, I mean, I have class with all my water polo guys. Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm just looking at their computers, and obviously they all have their games turned on, watching, paying attention. Like during the Italian Cup, everybody's watching. Just obviously they're all kind of involved. They all kind of know what's going on in Europe. Learning from them.
That's cool, because sometimes there's a bit, it seems a bit disjointed that America, obviously so far away and such a big place, and I know a lot of it's based in California, but you guys have your water polo, we have our water polo, and we only meet four times a year at competitions, but it's nice to know that you guys follow it. I guess we should talk about the future, and you guys are the future. I mean, it's crazy that you guys are as young as you are, and you're making the impact that you are. Maybe more than a year, we've got the Paris Olympics. Nobody knows who's going to be in the team. There's a lot of water to go under the bridge before we reach that point. But that must be a goal for both of you at this stage, and a realistic goal. But what's your outlook on the Olympics in a year? And
I'm going to try pushing for it. I feel like the first thing we got to do is we got to qualify. That's mm-hmm. the major idea. Even if I don't make the team, I want to qualify the team. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure the team goes to Paris no matter what, even if I'm not on that team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. It's definitely be a fight. It's definitely be a dogfight. We'll see how it goes. I think we have high hopes. It's just we have trouble stringing together one good game. And we always have highlights of it, like yesterday, and how we had highlights in the second half against France. We just got to string together one good game and just keep that consistency. And maybe we'll see where we end up.
And obviously, further afield from Paris, we've got the Los Angeles Olympics, your home Olympics, particularly for you guys, not just Americans. Is that being talked about yet? Is that on the radar, or is that kind of ancient? You know, is that too far in the future to even think about?
It's definitely on the radar. We've talked to it. Everyone talks about that, like 2028, LA. That's like the place to be for water polo. And of course, we're talking about it, but right now we're trying to focus on Paris. But yeah, there's nothing better than playing the Olympics in your own hometown. Like, there's nothing greater than that.
Yeah, and do you feel the same?
That's definitely, that'd be a dream come true if I were to make that team and go to the Olympics. But as my brother said, that there's still, I don't know, 5 years from that, there's still so much more water polo to play, whether that's qualifying for Paris, even this tournament. We have two more games left. We got to focus on those, but definitely that would be a goal.
Yeah, nice. Okay, well, we'll move on to talk maybe some quick fire questions. What is your favorite moment of your career so far?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's probably pretty recent. The one in Budapest when we played Hungary. I think that was probably one of the greatest, because it kind of just showed how big water polo is and how big it could be. Like ever since probably a couple years ago, water polo really hasn't been like broadcasted that big around the world. But now it's just starting to like catch fire. Like in the States, it's starting to catch fire and Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania. It's kind of cool to see. Like back when I was like 12, you'd never see water polo in any of those states, but now you see them everywhere.
And cool. So water polo's it's growing in those areas.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you say it's catching fire. What do you mean exactly? How much is it growing?
Well, I'm trying to remember when I was in Texas, I talked to one of my friends that lives there that does a bunch of Tony Acevedo stuff, and he said that in Texas they just made it a high school sport, which need a lot of schools for that.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember when I played when I played some of those teams from Texas when I was like 12, there was only like maybe two teams, and now there's like upwards of 14 teams. Mm-hmm. Like every year we've always gone and played in different states. Like either it's Utah or it's Indiana or it's Florida or it's Texas. Every year there's always a new state that adopts it.
Mm-hmm. And it being a high school sport in Texas, one of the biggest states, is pretty big news, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is there a national high school competition?
So most of the games for high school, they're mostly in California. That's where, like, because for us, we have something called the CIF Southern Section, mm-hmm. and that's, like, our division. That's, like, the thing you want to win. And that's, like, all of LA and all of OC. But, of course, it's always been the battle between like Southern California versus Northern California. There's always that team, or this couple teams from Northern California. There's really good teams from Southern California. It's always that clash in between. And high school is just the same way. There's teams like Sacred Heart, Camp Olindo, San Ramon Valley. There's teams like that. And there's also teams down south like Huntington Beach, Modern Day, Harvard Westlake, Newport Harbor, J. Sarah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just that clash.
That's your high school.
Yeah.
They're any good? Are they?
I mean, obviously not the best. We played in the CIF Southern Section Finals. We unfortunately lost 10-9. It was probably, that was my best moment in water polo. Just the amount of people there, the amount of support I had just from my family, teammates, just school friends was insane. It was just, the atmosphere there was amazing. Even though we didn't win, it was still once in a lifetime chance. Just crazy.
Nice. And talking of the best moment, what's maybe the biggest setback both of you have had? Maybe a moment in your very short careers that you think has been like maybe a turning point or has pushed you to where you are now.
I think one of my biggest setbacks was when I broke my wrist.
Okay.
I broke my wrist summer of 2019.
Okay.
And this was like 2 months out from playing, from actually re-entering. Because I took a break from national team, like the national team pipeline for like 2-3 years just because I wasn't really feeling it. And I finally got the opportunity to do it and I broke my wrist and it's like, oh, that's so much. So I really grinded it out for like a month, which is really hard after getting surgery and trying mm-hmm. to get your wrist back in movement for a month mm-hmm. is very hard. Yeah, and then, I don't know, that kind of just showed me that I have potential to do something great. And if I just put my mind to it, I just stay determined with it, I'll be able to do it.
Okay. And yourself?
I would say probably me moving teams. Uh-huh. That would be a pretty big setback because originally I started at my brother's high school, which is Huntington.
Okay.
And just over COVID and stuff, like the academics and just all that kind of just like kind of plummeted it at public school. So then I made the move to a private school and just the like losing friends at my old school and then having to make new friends, make new connections, just adapting to the new environment mm-hmm. was probably one of my biggest setbacks.
Both of those things are very typical, especially for elite athletes, because you're talking about an injury that you need to recover from. Nearly every athlete will have that at least once in their lifetime. Yeah. And you're talking about changing team, which in Europe happens quite a lot. Players move from one place to another. So maybe those experiences will help you guys when you eventually yeah. come here in Europe and play pro or something. Okay, so do you two have a role model? Do you have similar role models? Or is there a water polo player that you really look up to as being, yeah, that guy, I want to be that guy?
I'll go first.
There you go.
Well, I think we have pretty similar role models. I think my role model, I kind of have two. My first one is probably Tony Acevedo. Of course, we grew up in the same town he grew up in, Long Beach, and okay. kind of just always grown up, and everyone knows who Tony Acevedo is there. Yeah. Everyone knows. And even if you in the USA water polo, everyone knows who he is. So it's kind of cool, and he kind of noticed us pretty early on. We always just stayed in contact, and it's been kind of cool just to, like, grow up and just have someone that's, I don't want to say like he's like watching us, but it's kind of just like someone that has experience just to give us that little edge.
Mm-hmm. Would you say Tony Acevedo as well, brother?
Yeah, I could say that. But another thing is I could say my brother, obviously. He's one of my role models. Just obviously growing up with him, it's somebody like I would always look up to and see like I want to be in his shoes, especially when he was at World Champs. So I was like, wow, he's playing in front of 4,000 people. It's insane. Like that is dream right there. To just do that, which is
that's really nice. Even though when you were younger, you were beating him up. He's your he is your role model. I really like that. Where's the best place that you guys have traveled for water polo?
Whew, that's a hard one. Probably the best place I've ever traveled to for water polo. We were talking about this earlier. Was probably Trinidad. It's just a little unique. Mm-hmm. Like you go down there, it's like water polo, do you really think like the sport down there? And like it's like the places where you don't expect water polo to be is like the most interesting places to mm-hmm. be, because like the people are so passionate about the sport because there's such a few amount of people.
Yeah they're all eccentrics, right? Yeah, they're all really passionate about it, so
yeah. So it's kind of cool. It's just like you wouldn't really expect water polo to be there.
I agree.
Just opens up your eyes to like uh-huh. the possibility of water polo in the world in the future.
Nice.
I'd have to say Greece. When I was there, we were I think it was right before our youth world champs, and I was there for like 9-10 days. Just how beautiful that place is, just playing water polo there, like, and how much they actually practice and how many teams they have is just insane. Just the amount of like passion they have for the sport there is just unmatched, in my opinion.
Nice. Do you guys have a favorite basketball team? You follow basketball?
Yeah, I follow basketball, but
basketball's pretty big in Europe, here in Croatia and Serbia, and France and Spain.
I don't know. I've always been amazed by the San Antonio Spurs, just their coach, Coach Pop.
Right.
I just like the way they play. Just they play as a team, and I feel like that's the main thing water polo needs is a team.
Team play. Okay. You agree?
I guess I could say maybe the Lakers, just since I've obviously grown up pretty close to them. But I mean, obviously they're on a hot streak right now. They've obviously moved up a bunch of spots, which is happy. But I mean, just like they're a winning franchise, you know. They've won, I think they have the most NBA championships in all of basketball, which is kind of nice to see.
Do you guys spend a lot of time watching other sports, like the American sports or other sports?
I feel like we spend probably the same amount as like a regular person, but I think at least me, I like watching more like extreme sports and stuff.
Like what?
Mountain biking, race, like motor racing and stuff like that. I'm more like Formula One. I'm more into like the extreme sports.
This goes back from to you saying that you didn't like running and you weren't very good at moving like that. Yeah. So. And are you the same?
No, I mean, I couldn't say that I like it nearly as much as he does. But, I mean, I like watching, like, American football, baseball. I mean, I played baseball for a little when I was a kid. So I've always kind of had, like, a little joy for watching it. So, yeah.
Okay. Ryder, if you could tell me one thing about Chase that lots of people don't know, that you can tell us, what would you tell us? And be careful because the same question's coming back.
I'd have to say his room at home is really unclean. And then when he goes on trips, it's the cleanest thing in the world.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is kind
of
true.
So when you're living there, it's kind of a bit, it's messy. But when you know you're leaving, you need to keep it in order. So when you come back, it's nice.
Well, like every single time I leave, I always make it nice because I feel like I always want to come back to it being nice. But every single time I'm back in my house or my room at my house, it's always like, well, I know I'm going to come back. Like, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like on trips, maybe just like the style of game that I played in college just kind of taught me like structure, and just it's kind of nice to have everything like nice and neat and ready and out. You don't have to worry about anything.
Are you the same?
I would say I'm just kind of in the middle for all of it.
Because if you're obviously roomies, when you go away to tournaments, it sounds like you're really obsessive about keeping it clean, keeping it tidy, and maybe you don't...
I mean, I'm not... Obviously, I don't have everything all over the room, but I mean, I have a little corner I put my dirty clothes in.
Fine.
Keep my clean clothes in the suitcase.
Okay, same question. Tell us something about Ryder that we might not otherwise have known.
A hard one. That's a really hard one.
Should be.
What?
Should be.
He played baseball when he was younger. Not a lot of people know that. He tried playing baseball when he was a lot younger.
How did it go?
Not too hot.
You're now an international water polo player. That's the end of the story, right?
Yeah, exactly. Didn't go too hot. It was probably one of the worst on the team.
It's the first time he's been honest about that too. He said, "I finally caught the ball. I finally hit the ball." Yeah,
it's not for everyone. What's your favorite food?
Ooh, cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers.
I'd have to do sushi probably.
Interesting. Very typical American, and not so much. Why? Or is there anyone in particular from a certain place?
I just feel like that's a really good American food that that of course in Europe you really don't find that. Like you don't find that anywhere else except in America. Like you find some really good burgers.
Really, everywhere. Really. Only yeah. That's a big claim. That's a big claim.
It's a big claim, but
America only for burgers. I mean, if you want sushi, also Europe isn't the place to be But are there some good sushi places where you are?
I'd say so, yeah. There's obviously a few, but I mean, I grew up obviously playing water sports. We've always been on the water, whether that's the ocean or something. So
you have to eat food from the ocean as well.
Yeah, I guess. Is that what you're saying? Fishing and stuff.
Okay. The best state in America?
California. Just everything to do. You can go, well, especially where we live, you can go from the ocean up to the snow into the desert in less than 3 hours. You can't do that in many places.
You can't do that anywhere, really.
No.
Really, yeah. Second best, then? Because I thought California might be the obvious answer.
I don't know. I'd say Texas.
I'd say Hawaii is pretty cool.
Hawaii. Have you been there? You've probably played there several times.
Yeah, I've played games there. I've also done a couple training trips there in Hawaii. And yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of people at certain times of the year, but it's cool.
Uh-huh. Hawaii. Nice. Okay. If you hadn't played for UCLA, say they didn't take you, who would you have picked?
That was a hard one. It was a toss-up at the end between UCLA, Air Force, Cal, and USC, but... Yeah, I think maybe the Air Force. I like structure.
How does that work? You say the Air Force is in, you know, the Army, like the Air Force, and they don't play in the collegiate system, or do they?
They do have a collegiate team.
Okay, and are they any good?
Yeah, they're pretty good. They have every couple of years or so, they have a really good team that's quality, but. Yeah, the major reason why I wanted to go to Air Force just because I'm kind of into like machines and stuff, and airplanes is like the top of the top for machines.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. As I've played national team and stuff, I kind of had like a pride for my nation, and what's more pride than going into the military and flying planes.
Nice. No, I agree. Just before we come on to our last question, I just want our audience to hear about some of your teammates in the American national team. So of all your teammates, who's the craziest?
Oh, that's a hard one.
I'm gonna go Marco. Is it Marco?
Marco?
Yeah.
Why?
He's just, you know, he's just a quiet guy. But then when you go in the water, he's just solid player. Like, he'll do anything for you. I don't know if there's a guy being, you know, a little mean, he will
die for you. Yeah. I've realized that. He will die for you.
Yeah.
He's crazy. I like it. It's something you need in water polo. You need to be a little bit crazy.
Definitely. I agree. Okay. Who's the funniest? Who's the clown?
I'm going to go Adrian Goley.
Okay. Would you agree?
I'm going to have to go Johnny. Johnny's probably one of the funnier ones on the team.
So Adrian always seems very composed in the pool. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like the sort of person that would be telling jokes or something like this. But outside the pool, he's...
Yeah, I mean, since we're close to his age, like obviously there's a huge age gap on the team. Mm-hmm. But just hanging out with Adrian more, it's just he's obviously a funny guy. Mm-hmm. I just find like his jokes that he makes and just his humor is just obviously what I want to be around.
And you think Johnny Hooper is...
Yeah, well, I think it's just he's very into a lot of stuff, and I kind of it's just cool just getting to talk to him, and then the more you talk to people, more people open up. I just realized that he has a really good comical side to him.
Nice. And who's the most serious? Who's never making jokes? Who's always telling you to shut up and get on with your leg set or something?
Are we talking about like serious during a game or serious
is there a difference? Is there a difference?
I think there's a little bit of difference.
Go on.
I think during a game, I would say Adrian. I think Adrian's probably one of the most serious.
But he can be really funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's hard. Maybe in life, I think the most serious
guy. I'd say Luca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say Luca. It's probably the most serious.
Yeah. Takes himself seriously.
Yeah. Do your swim sets. Do all that. Like, we have a goal and we want to get it done with. We want to push through.
Uh-huh. Who's the most intelligent? Who's the brainiest?
I'd say Ben.
Halleck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say so. He speaks really well. We did a podcast with him and he seems like, would you agree?
Yeah.
He's very thoughtful about that.
Oh, yeah.
And now he knows Italian as well. Is there anything the man can't do, right? Dejan, Coach Dejan. What's it like being coached by him? He's obviously not American, but he had a great playing and coaching career. Serbian national team and Partizan as well. What's it like?
Of course, at first it was very different because playing style is very different from like any playing style I've played. Like high school, college, that's completely different than international. And he's had a lot of experience internationally. So just getting on pace, getting on terms with all that was hard. But now, like, I understand everything. I understand all the positions. I understand all of the different plays, all of that. And now it's actually pretty easily. Like, he thinks a lot like European coaches, which is what we need. Like, we've always been playing like these certain types of playing style, and I feel like it's a really good addition.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you haven't been with him as much. How do you view him?
I would say, yeah, changing play style is just completely different from obviously our American play style. Obviously the numbers, when I first came, like my first practice, I was totally lost because we used completely different numbers than European people do, and that kind of threw me off a little, but once I got it, it made it easier, and then I started to get them more and more, and then I made it just easier to understand and develop.
Does he use the European numbering system?
Yeah.
But the rest of the colleges, they don't, they use the American, right? Yeah. Or have they started to change?
Well, at least at all the colleges I know about, they all use the American playing style. It's basically the totally opposite way.
So that must be a bit complicated if you're ingrained playing in certain terminology.
No, when you hear like four, you're like, oh, that's gotta go. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong side.
Yeah.
Or one, oh, that's the other side.
That could be a bit of a problem.
It could be, but I felt like after maybe a couple days, you start to get the hang of it. It's just, it's all about the idea of just switching your mindset. Like, that's like a major thing where, like, you have to have a different mindset for international water polo versus domestic water polo. Just like the reffing's different and like just like how the players play. Like, there's a lot more movement in like domestic water polo than international. And I feel like that's a major thing.
Yeah, I agree. One last question then. What do you two individually get up to when you're not playing water polo or not watching Champions League when you should be at class or something?
I say, which is kind of interesting, when we're just home doing, we're just laying back, I guess me and my brother go out in front, throw the football. I mean, that's pretty entertaining for us. I mean,
do you mean like an American football?
Yeah, like
football,
an American football.
Not like, I can't believe I'm going to say it, but soccer. Like, you mean an actual American football?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just throw it about, passing.
Just passing and then. Sometimes we go camping when we have like an actual weekend off. That's what we do. Go watch car racing. I mean, watch TV like normal people.
Camping trips.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of, that's something unique about I think a lot of the time we don't spend a lot of time at our own house. Like, we're always on the move. Either we're going someplace else, we're going to see something different. We're always on the move. Like every free weekend I've come back, this since January, we've always been doing something that weekend. Either it's going to some event or going to go for a hike or going to go explore some different place. It's always something new.
Exhausting. Is it? But on the other side of it, it's hugely exciting, right?
Yeah, it's a lot better than just sitting in your house the whole entire day. Yeah. Like, I feel like he can agree with me on this. We kind of never like to stop moving. It's always fun just to keep moving. Like, always stay on your toes. Feel like you're alive. I like it.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, well, Chase and Ryder Dodd, thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for tuning in to this podcast episode. And we will see you next time. Thank you.